The 260 Dugout Podcast. Welcome to your destination for all things baseball in the Summit City. The 260 Dugout Podcast, presented by the Old Fort Baseball Company. From Little League to Major League Baseball, it's time to go inside the dugout. Here's your host, DC Hendricks.
And welcome in. This is the 260 Dugout Podcast. I am your host, DC Hendricks. Special edition here, as we are very excited. We have a few episodes left before we take a hiatus for the season and get back geared up for the spring. So I definitely wanted to make sure to catch up with this guy before the season was over. So, of course, before we get started, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Apple, Google Play, Spotify, and everywhere podcasts are available. Make us one of your favorites by subscribing to keep up with everything. And when you're on Apple, scroll on down, click write a review, and let us know what you are thinking of this show. So, as always, we're talking 260 baseball. 260 Fort Wayne surrounding areas, and we got the man that covers it all. I've looked up to this guy for a while. He does, in my opinion, the best coverage of anyone that, you know, does the best job in highlighting the kids the best way he can. And his name is Cooper Trinkle. Cooper, thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me, man. Likewise, I've enjoyed following your stuff, and for my purposes, man, Fort Wayne's an awesome, awesome baseball area, especially, you know, the last couple of classes have come through. So, yeah, I'm excited to talk some Fort Wayne baseball with you.
Yeah, let's do it, man. But before we get to that, I kind of want to get to know you a little bit more, and maybe the audience, too, that have maybe seen your work and are just curious what your baseball background is and where you come from. So a lot of people don't know. I mean, you grew up Columbus, Indiana, played a little high school ball, played college at IU, right?
I was a 2017 grad from Columbus North High School. Had a good high school career, was all state a couple times. My senior year, we went to semi-state. I played some junior college ball at John A. Logan, which is a successful junior college program in Southern Illinois. After that, I bounced to IU for a couple years. And then my last season I spent at Division II in Tampa, Florida, St. Leo. So it was kind of, I always say I was a college journeyman, but it was really cool. And it's especially translates to what I do now with prep baseball, where, you know, we try to cover the bases of high school baseball all throughout the state of Indiana. Our goal is, if you're a college baseball player in Indiana, we're going to know who you are. That's a difficult task, but that's something that, you know, our staff works for every day, right? Like, we're always looking for players. So my career kind of helped me into that, because I was able to see, you know, what the average player looked like at a junior college level versus the Power Four level versus, oh, this is a Division II. But it's like, I look back to that Division II program I played for, St. Leo, and it's like, mm-hmm. our Friday night starter, Jimmy Burnett, had pitched in the big leagues, right? Yeah. So it's like, getting the opportunity to do all those cool things within baseball. And on top of that, growing up within the space in Indiana, I came to prep baseball events. I played through the travel scene at Grand Park. I had a younger brother that came through as well. It's home for me, Indiana. And, you know, the people around the baseball community are people that I've known for almost my whole life.
Yeah, super awesome. And like, I was going to ask too, because I remember prep baseball when I was playing in high school, like 2009, I remember they were already kind of getting onto the scene with Indiana. So how did that go for you? How did you get into the picture with prep baseball? Did they approach you? How'd that work?
So it was kind of a lucky thing that I came by, you know, once I finished playing. Actually, it's even before that. Like, I came to events when I was in high school, got to know those guys. My brother had played for my boss now on what used to be Team Indiana, which was a draft prep type team that those guys used to do. Long story short, COVID summer, I was supposed to go to the Northwoods and play summer ball up there, but everything got shut down. And mm-hmm. so the guys at prep baseball put on a college summer league at Grand Park that summer. And it was some of the best, like one of the most talent filled summer leagues I ever played in. Like, there were guys from, I was at IU at the time. We had 10 to 15 guys there. Louisville guys were there. Kentucky guys were there. I think we did a dive a couple of years ago, and there was like 30 pro guys from that league. But regardless, you know, it was a special combination of guys getting to come home and play. But there was a work play type thing where, you know, you could get your player fee waived if you worked. And it just so happened that they had kind of put me on the prep baseball side a little bit. I did some tournament stuff as well, just to kind of pay my dues. And then I did well enough that once I finished my career, I came back and was like, hey, can I, you know, is there a job opportunity for me here? And it was right at the time that the guy who was the scout prior was kind of stepping away. And so that's when I started to work kind of full time, was that year after COVID. And then the rest is history. I've kind of, you know, earned my way to where I'm at now. And, you know, now we're 4 or 5 years in, still here.
still killing it. And just to catch the audience up too, in case you're not aware. So Prep Baseball is a national recruiting service and like tournament service for high school kids. And they are broken down in regions. And Cooper Trinkle is the one that handles the Indiana side of it and does a great job, phenomenal job. So like early on, you know, taking on this role and kind of breaking away from being a player, was there any tough adjustments for you or anything?
No, not necessarily. And I do want to stop there. Like, it's not just me in Indiana. Connor Madding and Phil Wade are that we kind of make up the full-time staff in Indiana. Mm-hmm. Those guys do a heck of a job as well. So I didn't want that to get lost. Those guys, absolutely. Connor works his butt off. But no, not really. You know, it was one of those things that I always knew I wanted to be in the game. When I first graduated, it was kind of like, hey, I want to work in prep baseball and kind of work my way into a college job. And you know, I've kind of shifted that now because I really do love what I do, right? Like, I'm able to impact kids, right? Like, there's nothing more gratifying than, you know, an instance, you know, Charlie Herr, right? He's a kid from Homestead. Mm-hmm. Seeing the kid like that, he comes to one of our events. I do the work to go see him enough, and then now he's getting Division I interest, and you know, he's on the cusp of a Division I commitment, right? Like, mm-hmm. that's the most gratifying thing that I do. And so, like, that was the biggest thing that I was chasing coming out of once I finished playing, was like, how can I stay in the game and make a living from it and still be able to impact like that next generation of kid? So it wasn't really tough. It was more of like, I just had to find my niche or what path I wanted to go.
That makes sense. Yeah. And like, so for kids to even get, you know, started with prep baseball, how does that process work? You know, because there's so many kids that play high school ball. There's kids that play travel ball scene. How does that process go to even get kids on your circuit?
Yeah. So it can happen in a lot of different ways, man. And that's, you know, the basic level, the easiest way to do it is to come to one of our events. You know, you mentioned us as a recruiting service, and I always tell people we're not necessarily a recruiting service, right? Like, it's more of we're more of a middle ground to where we can offer the high school prospect a third party verified metric so that, you know, it carries more weight than, you know, a dad holding a pocket radar and they post that on Twitter, right?
Yeah.
When it's on our side or they do it at one of our events, you know, a college coach can know, okay, that's a real number. It's not skewed. It's not inflated. And so that our profile is built through when they come to our event. And so they get access to TrackMan data, Blast data with video in there. And so the basic easiest way to get in front of us is to come to one of our events. Now, you know, there are all kinds of different ways it happens. You know, we have prep baseball tournaments that we scout at throughout the year. Most of ours are at Grand Park, and we're really lucky with Indiana that, you know, some of the best players in the Midwest come to our backyard every weekend. So we get to see them there. We identify guys in high school ball as well. You know, like, it's, you know, not only just stat stuff, but it could be, hey, you know, I'm showing up to Fort Wayne Snyder and I'm going to watch, you know, I'm watching Brandon Logan, you know, we want to see where's Brandon now? How many scouts are there? What's he look like this year? But it's also like, oh, on top of that, you know, this kid came out of the pen named Brady Keck and he's up to 90. He's a sophomore. And so it's like, oh, we saw him right now. For Brady, it's a little bit different instance. We had seen him as an eighth grader, but you get the point of it, right? Like, we're there to watch a specific kid, but it's always like keeping your head on a swivel of like, who else is here? Right. And along with that, like, you know, there have been kids that I found on Twitter, right? Like, I'm just scrolling Twitter and it's kid posts a video and it's an arm that looks really good. And it's like, yo, like, I really like this. I need to go see this kid. So it can happen in all kinds of different ways. And on top of that, our staff is very connected throughout the state. You know, we have guys in Fort Wayne, Valpo, Evansville that we trust. And it happens, you know, almost once a season, you know, fall, spring, summer, winter, whatever it may be. I'll get a text from, just somebody in that area. Hey, there's a kid at this school that you need to check out. And so, those connections and all that stuff, it makes my job easier, but it also shines more of a light on, the kids that may have gotten missed 10 years ago. Right. Yeah. So, to answer your question, it's in many different ways, but like the easiest way is just to come to one of our events, get in front of our staff, get all your metrics, and we get to kind of face-to-face interaction.
And is there, so for the kids that come to the tournaments and the events, is that I assume they pay a fee, right?
Yes, go? Absolutely. Right. And so that's the part of it. You pay the fee, you pay whatever it costs. But in my take, I think we have for the money, we have the best service you can have, right? Like you're not going to get for what you pay for to come to one of our events. You're not going to be able to get TrackMan verified metrics anywhere else for that. Right. You're not going to be able to get that video into a profile, all that stuff where it's organized. And on top of that, it's beyond that of kind of what you're paying for is more of we can help vouch. Right. Like, so whenever a school is going to call me on a kid and, hey, what do you know about this kid? And it's like, well, I saw him as a freshman. I saw him as a sophomore. And I saw him as a junior. And this is the progression. This is what he's done. And I have all this data for you. So the way I talk, I kind of explain it is like, you're going to pay a $300 to $400 fee up front, but it's for the opportunity to possibly get an $80,000 scholarship on the back end. Right. And, yep. I went through it, right. They helped me, in my process. They really helped, my little brother as well. And so like, I've seen firsthand where, anything in this space, it's going to cost money, but at the same time, the bang for your buck that we do offer, I feel is better than anybody in the industry.
100% co-sign it. I could co-sign it myself. Like, and one reason I started this podcast is to highlight, the next generation, because my playing days are long over. So like what, other than coaching, scouting, what are some other ways that I could highlight these kids, that are the next up? And that's why I created this podcast. And I created this podcast kind of not really in lieu of you guys, because you guys give me the most content, looking to what you guys provide everyone with, talking about the metrics, the videos, the stats, and just informing everyone of the top players and, players to look at in the area. I could co-sign that 100%. You guys do, I would say, the best job of anyone highlighting these kids. So just if anyone's listening and has a kid that is interested and, getting involved with prep baseball, I can vouch for you. If you're listening to this pod, you trust me. So, and I trust Cooper and his staff. So definitely speaks high volume. So with prep baseball, Indiana. So obviously it's a gig that you said, you guys all cover different areas. But what are some things that you look for? What are some things that you look for to help stand out from other players?
Yeah, man, that's everybody in this space, it's a subjective space, right? We are scouting. So we're all going to have our own individual biases with things, right? Like I'm shorter and right-handed. So I saw the limitations that I did have when I was playing. Right. And so like, I tend to gravitate towards tall left-handed hitters, right? Cause like that, I saw the, how much that is valued. Right. Regardless, the number one thing I would say is I look for athletes. Right. Like, especially at the youngest ages, when we start to identify these kids when they're underclassmen, I'm going to bet on athletes. Right. Because athletes, not only I know they have the foot speed to impact the game immediately, but on top of that, the athletes get better. Right. They have the aptitude to make adjustments. They have the ability to add weight. They already have the foot speed. They have some explosiveness. So right off the bat, athletes are going to be the first thing that I'm looking for. I always have a stopwatch in my hand, always looking for run times. On top of that, if we're talking about pitchers, velocity is going to be the first thing that kind of jumps off the page. I show up at a game, the kid's throwing 90 miles an hour. Like, I'm going to know that kid. Right. Mm-hmm. But on top of that, we're looking for clean movement patterns. We're looking for projectable bodies, and, projectable is a serious buzzword in this space where, essentially what it means is the kid has the ability to get better. Right. You see the kid that's 6'2", 6'3", 160 pounds, that kid's going to put on 30 pounds. And when he does, his game's going to look a lot different. The tool set's a big one, right? A tool set's what's going to be measured as long as you play this game, whether it's from us, college recruiters, professional scouts. How hard do you throw the ball? How fast can you run? How well do you field? How well do you hit? And on top of that, how well do you feel the baseball and how well do you hit the, I think I got through all five there. I might have missed, regardless, the five tools, right? Hit, power, field, run, throw. Okay. Those things are going to be the first things I kind of start to check off, right? The athleticism, the body, the tool set, all those things. Mm-hmm. And then on after that, it's like, okay, now that you've checked all those boxes, now I'm going to continue to follow you, right? Like, what do you hit as a freshman? Do you play varsity as a freshman? What do you hit as a sophomore? What are your statistics? For me, I'm not a huge batting average guy, but you know, just because it doesn't necessarily translate. But if on top of that, you know, I do look for, you know, what's the strikeout to walk ratio. You know, if I do have good run times on you, how many stolen bases do you have in a season, right? Are you able to do that on the field? For pitchers, you know, same thing, strike out the walk, right? Can you control the strike zone? For hitters, you know, I value extra base hits, right? Because, you know, if you're able to split the gaps in high school, that translates, right? If you're able to hit the ball over the wall in high school, that translates. So, you know, it's all those things and then the statistics, and then we start to build kind of a track record on a player, right? The initial stuff is, you know, the easy stuff. How tall is he? How fast he run all the tools, right? Now it's following that kid. Okay. Does he get better? Does he perform? And on top of that, the most important thing, and it's the most difficult thing for us, is it's evaluating the brain, right? Cause the brain, the makeup, it's going to ultimately indicate how close that kid can get to their ceiling, right? You know, there's kids out there that, you know, they have the ceiling that if they dedicated their life to this, you know, they could play in the big leagues, but mm-hmm. some kids, right, wrong, or indifferent, like baseball isn't what they want to do. Mm-hmm. And the other way of that is, you know, some kids are not blessed with the most talent in the world. And I can use myself as that example of, I was not the most talented guy in the world, but man, I love this game more than anything in the world. And I dedicated myself to it as soon as when I was playing. And you know, now I can lay my head down at night and say, you know, I did everything, but my ceiling was not to be Derek Jeter, right? So it's like, you know, the makeup is ultimately going to tell you, like, how close is this kid going to get to what he could do? Mm-hmm. And that comes last, right? That's, you know, a year, 2 years of watching a kid, watching him play. How does he take the field? Does he hustle? Talking to his coaches? Does he work hard? Is he a good teammate? All those things, right? So that's kind of a quick summation of everything we've looked for, but man, it goes even beyond that. You know, we're looking for, I'm multi-sport athletes is something I love, right? I love the mm-hmm. kid that, you know, just rolls out in baseball season and, you know, it's what he does naturally, right? Like, you know, we have a little bit of an algorithm at Prep Baseball where we're able to take some of the metrics that we value and kind of use it to find guys, right? Okay, hey, who did we miss at our showcase that maybe, you know, check some of these boxes that we need to go get a second look at? So to answer your question, it's, you know, it's all of those things and in combination, and it's ever evolving, right? We're evolving on top of what people are looking for, right? Like right now, you know, for a time it was, hey, if you throw 90 miles an hour, like you're a Division I player.
Right.
Because they thought at that time, pitching coaches are like, oh, I'll teach them how to pitch. Right. Yeah. Now we're getting to the point where the training is good enough that there are tons of kids out there throw 90 miles an hour. Yep. Now, in the last couple of years, I've gotten more than ever. Hey, does this kid throw strikes? Like, can he command a breaking ball? Mm-hmm. And so our process is ever evolving to what the guys above us are looking for. Right. Those professional scouts, those college scouts. So, yeah, it's a long winded answer for all that different stuff factors into ultimately what we value, right?
All of it all comes into one. And you talked a lot about how it's changed, what you look for throughout the years. And like, I have to ask this because I am generally curious. Is there any advantage playing travel ball versus not playing travel ball, not only for your services or even to get recruited?
Yeah, there definitely is, man. And you know, that's something that, I'll put it this way, playing higher level travel ball is going to get you in front of more eyes. I'll put it that way. Right. You know, the guys, the highest level of travel ball, they're playing MPIs, our national program invitational. They're going to USA baseball. They're playing in the big prep baseball events, national championships, what have you not. Like, those are going to bring tons of eyes, right? Our prep baseball future games, there's over 400 or programs at that event recruiting, right? And so travel ball is just going to bring a little bit more eyes to what you see. And same with me, right? Like, you know, we're going to bust our butt during the spring trying to find guys, but it's like I watched Brandon Logan play a heck of a lot more with his Canes Midwest program than I did with Snyder. And not just because of, you know, he was in front of my face more at Grand Park, but, you know, when he's playing with his hit that program, you know, one of the best teams in the Midwest, if not the country, I know he's getting everybody's best and he's facing 88, 92 daily. And I get to get a really good eval on him where, you know, sometimes in high school ball, you run into a velocity that they're not going to see beyond that. And on top of that, the thing that travel ball does bring is for recruiting purposes, colleges are playing during the spring, right? Mm-hmm. Much like high school, right? High school plays in the spring. Well, the college program is worried about winning in the spring. They need to win to keep their jobs. So it's much more difficult for those guys to get out and recruit on a consistent basis. And so that's where the travel ball, the summer and fall circuits are so important because, you know, the coaches don't have anything else to do but recruit. So they are actively going out and looking for players within that. Now, I always say, if you are good enough, you will get found, especially in today's, you know, age of information, right? If you are at Fort Wayne Snyder, you go 8-0 and you post a sub one Ernie and you're chucking 88-90, you're going to get found. Mm-hmm. But the travel ball scene helps you if you don't necessarily have that God-gifted ability where you are a no doubt D1 guy as soon as you roll out the bed. That the travel ball scene is going to kind of help you get seen a little bit more.
That's good stuff. And, you know, a lot of people from our area have been seen and found by you, covered. So just talk about, you know, some of the players that you've enjoyed covering from our Fort Wayne area.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Like, you know, it's always one of those things that each time I start a new class or a new class starts to roll in, Fort Wayne's always an area that, you know, I know, okay, there are going to be 3 to 5 slam dunk Division I players from the Fort Wayne area. I just got to find it, right? So it's, you know, having connections with, you know, the Indiana Jacks guys. Brad Smock does a great job. I followed their 15U team around all summer. Cooper Nichols is a kid that I'm super excited about from Fort Wayne. He's one of our top catchers in the sophomore class. He's a kid from Carroll that, man, I think he's got a chance to be special. On top of that, you know, Isaiah Snavely is one that, you know, his story is really, really cool. Isaiah was actually the first kid we left off of our 14U Junior Future Games team, which is kind of our marquee 14U team. It used to be a big deal back when kids could get recruited prior to their junior year. I tell you what, our last year of JFG with the old rules, we had like 8 to 10 Division I recruits off that team within like 6 months, right? So like that team used to be a big time because they used to recruit eighth graders and freshmen, things like that. But Isaiah actually was our first guy we left off that team. And to see his progression from there to now, where now, you know, he's got offers from several top 25 programs. He's regarded as a top 30 player in the country. So to see his process and how he went to work, and he took it personal that we didn't take him on that team. And, you know, now he's our number one ranked player. And, you know, he always likes to give me crap for it. Of like, hey, you remember when you did take me? Cause you came to watch me and I let 2 balls go between my legs. And I'm like, yeah, you let 2 balls go between your legs, bro.
Right. What do you expect?
Regardless, man. Like, yeah. And you know, Brandon Logan was always a really fun one. He was cool because that was kind of my first class, that 25 class that I saw from eighth grade through their senior year. So seeing the evolution of Brandon, not only as a player, but as a person, like that was one of the most mature, hardworking dudes I've ever met. Like that guy will have success in everything he does. Again, a great one that was awesome for me from Fort Wayne. Homestead is a program that, man, I fell in love with. Like Homestead, man, every year, that's a JV program that I'll look into their JV team and it's like, hey, there's like 2 guys who are going to be Division I players on this JV team just because the varsity team is so loaded. Mm-hmm. That 25 class was really cool. I had a good relationship with like Luke Neiswanger, Ryan Mikuloff, Johnny Ankenbrook, Luke Rhea. Those were guys I built a good relationship through high school with. And so it's really cool to see those guys end up going on to do what they're doing now, right? They're all playing at the Division I level. Johnny actually is at Huntington, but you know, like Huntington, I always say is essentially a D1. They just play in the NAIA, right? Like, and yep. Taylor's ultimately in the same conversation as well. Another one I'm really excited about is Adler Kellums. He's a freshman. I believe he's a Carroll kid, but I could be wrong on that. He's going to be one of our top ranked freshmen, super, super talented kid. So, yeah, you know, I could go on kind of for days here of all these different guys from Fort Wayne, but it is a really good baseball area. And, you know, to sum it up, it's an area that every time I start a new class, I'm talking to the guys in Fort Wayne, Justin Glass, different high school coaches. Hey, you know, who are the 29s I need to know about? And, you know, next year at this time, who are the 30s I need to know about? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, again, great baseball area, and it's always something I want to hit.
Yeah, absolutely. You've mentioned a lot of people that have been on the podcast. So it's I guess it's telling me I'm doing something right, too.
That's right. That's right. I can't leave off my guy, Brayden Thomas. Brayden Thomas, one of my all-time favorite arms.
Oh, yeah.
He's got a chance, you know, pitching big leagues. Super talented kid. Awesome kid as well. Great family.
Absolutely. Yeah, tons of talent here and tons of talent that you cover each and every year for Prep Baseball. Do you got any events coming up that you'd like to plug while we got you on?
Yeah, absolutely. Our Fall State Games is coming up here in the second week of October. And it's talking about Isaiah, right? Like Isaiah didn't make that team. And I remember he came to this event when he was a freshman and we threw him on the big boy field. Like it was all the upperclassmen. I'm like, all right, Isaiah, like, let's see what you got. And he came out and he just like, it was like, he was a junior already. The jump he made from June to October was like insane. And so, you know, seeing that kid at that event, right, like really break out, that's something that, you know, it happens every year. Sean Dunlap was another example of that. He's a Fall State Games alum that, you know, we had always known about Sean. He was like the big body catcher that played up and he was interesting. And then he came to that event. He was the MVP of the 2023 State Games, I believe. And that was kind of his coming out party for us. That was where it was like, okay, Sean's a guy. So Fall State Games, it's going to be at Championship Park in Kokomo, October 10th and 11th. Great event, especially for those guys that maybe not on the scene or like the highest regarded guys yet. Like that's your chance to break out. You know, that's one where there's going to be kids from the freshman class to the senior class. It'll be everybody from, you know, your freshman looking to establish their name all the way up to the juniors and seniors that are still trying to get recruited. Right. Because we'll have some college coaches at that event. It's the last weekend of the contact period, which essentially means that coaches can recruit that event. So it's a full service event where, you know, whether you're a freshman or sophomore looking to make your name, looking to establish yourself, or you're a junior or senior looking to get a little bit more eyes on you in your recruiting process, that event's great for it.
Cooper, I can't thank you enough for coming on, giving us all this information and doing everything that you do for these kids. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about. And we, myself, everybody in the baseball community here in the 260, thank you for your coverage and definitely look forward to more coming up, man. Thank you so much.
No, I appreciate you too as well, man. Like this is guys like you make my job so much easier. So, you know, anytime that, you know, we can further our relationship or I can get on here and
absolutely
do my spiel, talk high school baseball, anytime I'm getting for it, man.
Yeah, so, let's connect down the line too. Let's do some stuff together, man. Let's collab. Let's
go. We need to get a Fort Wayne preview this year. We'll talk once we get a little bit closer to the spring. We'll talk. I'll give you some of my notes on guys around the area and see if I can make some predictions that are probably going to be sure to fail. But we'll talk high school baseball right before the spring, man. Let's do it.
Let's do it, man. Let's lock it in. Take care. Okay. Thanks for coming on.
Appreciate you.